Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. Danny the Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till three.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this glorious Monday. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, youtube.com, party on, party animals, youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Thank you, folks. NFL weekend, it was a big one. Kind of a odd week.
It was. When you're out on Friday.
Well, the Panthers won, so that makes it really weird.
Ortner and I were talking about four games that... Where one of the teams, like, you needed to see a move from one of those teams. And, like, it was a sliding scale of consequence. The Seahawks were one of those teams because of where things sit in the NFC West and how congested it is and how big of an opportunity it was if they went out there and won that game.
Rams were heading in, if you go back 8 days ago, the Rams were dead last in the NFC West.
And now?
They near the top. That's crazy. That is crazy to think about. And here are the Cardinals looking alive, and the Seahawks went from first to worst in 8 days. It's wild what that division is doing right now. And that I'm with you. The Seahawks were a big one in that. And Geno Smith, not his best work, not his finest work. This offense is kind of hitting the skids at times, and it is coinciding with the Rams playing a lot better. I still can't believe Puka Nacua was ejected from the game. That wasn't really a punch. It was like, I guess it technically was. But, I mean, come on. Yeah, that was more of like a shove, stern shove. That was a weird move.
It's all very dumb, but... Don't put it in their hands.
Yep, don't put it in their hands. You're going to be okay. The Seahawks, though, now if you look at it, they have lost five of their last six games after a 3-0 start. And Paper Tigers, at the beginning of the year, their wins against the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins, we knew that those were going to be bad teams with the exception of Miami, but all things considered about Miami and what we saw, it was a weak schedule to start, and... they have not been impressive over the last 2 weeks, especially getting absolutely blasted by the Bills. And now in this case, the Rams come into your house and they continue to give the Seahawks fits. Sean McVay, for whatever reason, doesn't matter if Pete Carroll's a coach or now Mike McDonald's a coach, doesn't matter. The Rams have got the number of the Seattle Seahawks team. That's frustrating. That's just one of those weird quirks. It doesn't matter who's the coach, who's the quarterback, whatever. Some franchises just play really damn well against others.
It especially sucks if you're the Seahawks and it's the Rams consistently. Like, look, you understand when it's the 49ers with how much talent they have right now, but this is the Rams team. This isn't the Super Bowl Rams team. This is the Rams, not dynasty, but I mean, I think you could kind of put them in like the that upper echelon for a 6-year period of like, this is a really, really, really good team.
Yeah.
They've got dudes on both sides of the ball, whether it was Goff or Stafford, different eras, but you had two teams that were Super Bowl teams. So they were losing to this team was not a, you know, punch in the face. As they're going down and most of their dudes are gone, it's kind of like, hey, Seattle, you maybe want to get this together because you are fumbling the bag right now.
Yeah, and Geno is on the struggle bus right now. I mean, he did throw for a bajillion yards, but it's the three interceptions that just aren't sitting right. And there's one other one that the woulda, coulda, shoulda's in that. But
he's also running for his life because that offensive line is Swiss cheese. I mean, was it seven sacks? Yeah, seven sacks. And seven sacks, and good Lord, 11 quarterback hits.
Pressure makes a coward out of everyone.
Yeah. Remember when Aaron Donald came free against Geno? Was that 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yep. but Seahawks, they find that loss. It was a dark weekend for the New Orleans Saints, who are now dead last in the NFC South after losing to the Carolina Panthers. And in doing so, they did what your franchise didn't.
Mm. Beat the Panthers?
No, they also lost to the Panthers.
Yes.
Yeah, both of them. Yes. Both the Raiders and the Saints. Mm. No, they did. They fired their coach.
Oh, right.
They fired their coach.
Yeah. Well, the Raiders fired some coaches.
Today, about 7 weeks later. Oh. But, yeah, they fired their offensive staff.
Thank God.
Fire up the phones. They're probably calling Lincoln Riley right now saying, hey, you want this job? Do you see the Cliff Kingsbury report?
No.
Yeah, Diana Rossini had this bad boy that... So, Cliff Kingsbury, now offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders.
And by the way, doing really good.
Yeah. She added to an Albert Breer report. Here's Albert Breer's initial report. The Raiders wouldn't go to a third year on an OC contract for Cliff Kingsbury, and the stall in negotiations opened the door for the Commanders to swoop in and steal him. Chip Kelly was also in the running for the Vegas job as OC. Diana Rossini says... Kingsbury also met with the Jets, but the Commanders landed him. So the Jets and the Raiders are probably just sitting there going, we're seeing what Kingsbury's doing with a rookie quarterback, with a good receiver. And really, they have a good running back in DC, too.
Yeah. You got a nice little two-headed back in Robinson and Eckler. But your offensive line is okay. It's not great. It's just okay.
Yeah.
But their offense is explosive. It's dynamic. It fits exactly what Jaden Daniels is, and it's tailored to him to a T.
Instead of that third year for Kingsbury, they hired Luke Getsy.
Who was...
Raiders fired him.
In charge of the Bears offense, that was one of the most anemic we've ever seen.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Oh.
So. Right.
Well, Dennis Allen got fired as a Saints head coach, and now this is two times that Derek Carr's been his quarterback, and he was a head coach of the Raiders.
Yes.
Head coach of the Raiders, too. But they fired Dallas Allen.
It all comes back.
9 games into it. 7 losses because, look, remember, that was the most high-flying, potent offense in NFL history in the first 2 weeks.
They were absolutely unstoppable.
Well, they've been stoppable the past 7 weeks.
They outscored their opponents 91-29 in the first 2 weeks.
But also, they played the Cowboys, who, turns out, not good.
And since then, they have scored 16.6 points per game.
That seems bad.
Mm.
That does not seem good at all.
It's nasty work.
That's not good at all.
Nasty work.
New Orleans firing their head coach. This is going to be a hard reset for them. And remember, that's a franchise that we talk about kicking the can down the road. They're going to have to pay up soon because they owe a lot of money. So they're for next year's salary cap, they're projected to be $68 million over the cap right now.
Nearly $70 million. It's just...
And everybody says the cap is fake. Well, at some point...
It becomes real.
You have to pay the piper. This might be it. And that puts New Orleans in such a bad position for who wants that job then. Because it's not just a quick rebuild, tear down, build back up.
Oh, it's the same kind of thing.
It is long.
When... Sean Payton went back and forth over taking that Broncos job because you knew you were going to be stuck for 2 years because of the lack of assets and the money owed to Russell Wilson, and you knew you were going to have to get a rookie quarterback. And so it's like, even in expectations, you knew you were going to be limited in what you could do with that Broncos team. And this is what happens with trying to follow any kind of, you know, jettisoned money for a veteran quarterback in particular. Like, you're going to see this with Daniel Jones next year. They'll have the out, but they'll still have he's got his guaranteed money on that. But anytime you have to deal with that, it's a problem to navigate.
Yeah, and they need to Jetsons him too.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Send him to the future.
Yeah.
Or push him off a very tall building out of the clouds.
Woo. How about this one for why the Saints.
The old Russian vacation.
Yeah.
This is why. Wow. This is why the Saints canned Dennis Allen in part. One, he is not a great coach.
I was surprised win-loss they hired
record,
him.
Win-loss record-wise. Yeah. But here from Bill Barnwell of ESPN. The Saints outgained the Panthers by 150-plus yards, ran for 150-plus yards, and won the turnover battle. Over the last 20 years, teams have gone 275-0 when outgaining a team by 150, rushing for 150, and winning the turnover battle.
And yet?
They are now 275-1.
Hit.
Sun even shines on a dog's ass some days, doesn't it?
Unreal.
Well, it just set, Jeff. That sun just set. That tail has been brought back down on that dog, and we ain't there anymore. So Dennis Allen going down. Also of note, Dak Prescott, big injury. They say his hamstring injury going to keep him out several weeks. Not great, Bob. His hand, too. You cut open his hand on the webbing in between his ring and pinky finger? That's no good, Bob. But hamstring injury, Dak Prescott.
That sounds worse than the hammy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, to grip a football, I think it would be very important. But it's a double whammy for Dak, and especially when you saw him with Cooper Rush in the game, where I am no lip-reading expert, but when he mouthed, "We effing suck," he was right.
It's not wrong.
He was right.
Will Jerry do what he needs? What needs to be done? The answer is
fire
no.
himself.
Of course he won't. There's got to be somebody else around here to blame.
I don't want to see the Cowboys do it because it would be the right thing for them to do. But they need to steer into the skid.
How much does it remind you of what Dallas is going through of the later years of Al Davis?
A ton. When Al started to lose his marbles, because that was the thing, is that the couple years prior to that, like 2001, 2002 was the last of it. After that,
it was
chasing every last bit of just what the hell.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it made any sense, whether it was draft picks or free agent signings.
Darius Heyward-Bey.
Oh, God, Rolando McClain. Like,
hey, Darius Heyward-Bey, Maryland grad.
There you go.
Maryland playing Oregon this week.
There we go. But, I mean, you go up and down the board. There was a decade. And hell, you could make 15, 17 years of just what the hell? I mean, the Gruden-Mayock years were them trying to be the smartest people in the room and making things infinitely more difficult, which I think is exactly what the Cowboys are doing.
Yeah.
You paid CeeDee Lamb, you paid Diggs, you paid Dak, you don't pay Micah Parsons, and now Micah's, you know, I'm not saying he's faking it, but now he's injured in a contract year and not out there. It's like, I don't know, man. It just seems like every single thing that you're doing it the wrong way.
That's no good.
So, and again, what are they going to fire his son as the GM? Is Stephen Jones going to get relieved of duty? No. Because he's, what's
going to happen?
Well, I thought Jerry was the GM.
Well, the ultimate Jerry move would be like, it's not me. I'm going to fire my kid.
Yeah. Well, and then what's funny is he'll die and then his kid will become the owner.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to fire you, but just so you know.
And then his kid kills him, and then he
Hey, this sounds like a Netflix doc.
Yeah, buddy.
Or at least a decent show on Max.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, let's get to the hometown team. Big news for the Portland Trailblazers. They have the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, Get the health care you earned and deserve.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some good news. Actually, a lot of good news coming out of the Portland Trail Blazers, huh? Lately. I think the biggest one is that is tonight the night we finally see Time Lord as a Portland Trail Blazer in the regular season?
Robert Williams III, nearly a year removed from ACL surgery, is set to make his return to the lineup tonight in New Orleans. I mentioned this last week that Rob was getting very, 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 very close. The hope was maybe Friday he'd get to do it at home. He wasn't going to do it on a back-to-back, and now he'll go through. Actually, they probably just got done a little bit ago going through shoot-around, which is why we got the update, which means shoot-around went well.
Shoot around and find out.
Not to be the party pooper, but I remember a few games last week where he was also a game time decision, and then.
Yeah, from everybody I've talked to this morning, Friday night, this was the plan.
Okay,
like once he didn't go Friday, it was like, let's look at New Orleans. At absolute worst, it would be San Antonio. So, and not to put the cart before the horse, don't be surprised to see Shaedon Sharpe here pretty soon too.
Oh.
Ooh. So, yeah, I mentioned it this weekend.
He's out, by the way, tonight.
He's out. Yeah. If Shaedon had it his way, he'd be playing right now.
Okay.
The team is going to make sure he's 100%.
But that is great news to hear.
He's been, the thing is, they haven't been able to practice.
What are you talking about? Practice?
And you got to get out there and actually go through a full contact practice before you go with the shoulder.
Yeah.
They've played like, what, 8 games in 14 days? Or seven games. This will be 8 games in 14 days, I think is what it is.
Hot dang.
Yeah, it's a lot. They've been dumb busy. But they're playing a Pelicans team that is destroyed. They will not have CJ McCollum. They will not have Herbert Jones. They will not have Trey Murphy III. They will not have probably Zion Williamson or Andrew Hawkins. Or CJ McCollum.
Jeez.
Or DeJounte Murray.
Oh,
Brandon Ingram, I believe, is the only day one, like, supposed to be starter who is active right now.
Wow.
Eve Missy, after they gave Daniel Tice the veteran, hey, here's your chance to be the starting center minutes, Eve Missy is now the starting center.
Hey!
So that didn't take very long because Daniel Tice is 6'8" and Eve Missy is 7 foot tall.
Can we talk about this team, though? Because two guys have been playing really damn well, and it is great to see, and I think that this is exactly what Blazer fans should want to see. We have made no bones about the fact that I love both of these guys. I liked Tumani Kamara last year. I'm liking him even more this year. Everything he does is like one of those guys that is a swizzle stick to stir the drink of what a successful team could be in the future. And then Ryan Rupert, Baby Batum.
My little boy's all grown up.
Both of those guys have seemingly made massive strides, and I think that is a great sign for this staff and this franchise being real about player development, and we're starting to see what player development looks like with those two. It's early. It's a small sample size. Guys will have ups and downs, but both of those guys have looked pretty damn good over the last week.
The other part of this is there's a third player in Chris Murray. And again, this isn't like massive leaps and bounds. These aren't all-star caliber players or anything along those lines. But you're seeing young players show genuine growth. Chris Murray has been disruptive defensively. He's taking and making his threes. I believe he's at just at 50%, even on small volume. Ryan Rapera is at 50% from three. Tumani Kamara is shooting 40% from three. And the biggest thing is they're taking them. They're taking them. That's the thing. It's like I've seen two record scratch, two different ones, and I've seen Chris record scratch at least one. But Roops has let it fly, which you'll love to see. And if you look at what Roops has done, for me, if you showed his tape, if you showed his minutes from this season to anybody who watched him after summer league, his rookie year, and you said that's the same player, you'd be stunned. Stunned. Like, because remember, Roops couldn't handle the ball. He couldn't shoot. Like,
timid, shy. Well, it was Nick Batum.
I mean, yeah, it was Nick, but it was, for those that are unaware or don't remember Nick Batum's summer league, Nick Batum is maybe, his summer league is maybe the worst any like high end player has ever looked at summer league. Zach Collins, close second. But Nick was atrocious. Like, they were talking about like him going back overseas. Like, that's how bad it was. And then he went to camp and murdered and started night one. I'm not saying Roops is on that path yet, but he's starting to show it, and he's real young. And look, Chauncey Billups remarked about this pregame, and I've talked about it probably a dozen times. Roops is the hardest worker on the team. I hate throwing around the whole Mamba mentality thing, but he is. He's a maniacal. Like, they have to kick him out of the gym type stuff. Yeah. He's an absolute freak in there.
Well, and I think this is kind of along the same lines of Nick Batum and obviously being a mentor to Ryan Rapera is a big one. And that's legitimately, Nick has been his mentor for several years. But Nick went through the same thing where you are young, you are in a foreign country, you are in a small market, and it became, distractions were out. When there's a language barrier, you know, and he speaks English, but when there's still the language, but culturally, you are adjusting to a new country and completely different world. That is where you kind of gravitate and your focus hones in on is I've got really nothing else to do except for play basketball here. And I think that that is serving him and his development with that. You got to lock him out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is Nick or Roops is a, you know, French speaking Muslim basketball player. Like, coming to Portland, Oregon is not, that's not a, you don't think, oh yeah, there's a big international population with a melting pot, and you don't think, oh, it's a big melting pot of different, you know, religions or anything like along those lines. Look, are there people of Muslim faith out here? Absolutely. But if you, it's not Washington D.C., it's not New York City, it's not, you aren't necessarily comfortable with, you know, different language barriers, different religious barriers, just things that we often overlook when like, oh, it's basketball, it's this, that, and the other. It's like, no, it's good.
And he's what, is he? Is he 20 yet? He's 19?
Yeah. He's a baby. He turned 19 a week before the draft last year. He just turned 20 in May.
You're young.
He's real young. And when he came here for summer league, that was the first time he had been here.
Yeah.
So it took him a while to he was shell shocked, and he's admitted as much.
Yeah. It's like, hey, welcome to America. Here's Portland, and then, oh, by the way, here's Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the same country.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I hate Portland. My cousin got murdered there.
You know, but look, this isn't a pro Chauncey Billups, you know, he's the best coach ever. But I hear people already going, none of these guys have developed. Nobody has shown growth. I'm like, the entire roster has shown growth. DeAndre Ayton is taking threes.
Yeah.
Donovan Clingan is already, like, you're starting to see, like, oh, he's, I heard some people say, why isn't Clingan playing against the Thunder? Well, I don't want him guarding Alex Caruso on the three-point line because he still doesn't know how to handle guarding NBA players in the paint. Like, when they went small, like, why didn't they go with Clingan out there? It's like, well, do you want to play 4-on-5? Do you want to put him in a position where he's going to fail miserably?
Do you want to see 12 minutes and 5 fouls?
Yeah, and it was like, they did eventually get out there, and what happened? He got pulled out of the paint, and he got turned around, and he got in foul trouble, and he offensively didn't really have a ton of value because he can't post guys up, and they're going under screens. Like, it's okay. The developmental times, the developmental minutes, they will all come. And I think even in the downslides against Phoenix the other night, Scoot Henderson played his worst game of the season. I mean, he was not there. I don't know what the deal was. He was just at a fog.
You're going to see it, man.
And it happens. But the flip side was Delano Banton gets out there and you go, look at this. And you saw him play with some of the other younger guys as well. And you saw him play with Denny. You saw him play with Tumani. And I think the thing that I'm taking away from the first seven games of the season so far is very easily they don't quit. They fight. They scrap. They claw. Are they out-talented on most nights? Yes. Yes. And are these third quarters an absolute nightmare, these last two games? Yes. But they're finding ways to be in games, to claw back into games. They are not letting go of the rope in spite of everyone knowing what the deal is.
Two things here real quick. The Chris Murray, I think it's time to reiterate this too as well. When you're talking about his growth, I want to kind of highlight what he told you last year as it pertains to the comparison with him and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been a year behind his brother. And that's
everywhere.
Kind of
high
always,
school, college.
It's always NBA. How it's been.
Yep.
He's always been a year behind where Keegan is. So seeing this kind of climb up and steady rise, not surprising from Keegan Murray or from Chris Murray. The other one, where's our panic meter with Denny Advia's ability to shoot a three?
Not there yet. I mean, again, he's not a great three-point shooter. The question was, can he be league average?
League average last year.
He was right at it.
Yeah.
He was 36 and a half. But I talked to Denny real quick after the Oklahoma City game. Like, hey, man, how you doing? How you feeling? Do you feel like this is a real issue for you? Or is this there's something along those lines? And he's like, nah, I'm not worried about it. He goes, the shots will start falling. He was very, very confident and just, he goes, I think it's just more of like understanding where I'm going to be, how I'm going to get there, what I'm going to do. He wasn't dismissive of it. Like he was obviously, he acknowledged like, yeah, I'm struggling on things that I don't normally, like he misses that layup late in the game against Phoenix and you went, oh, but I also thought if you see two more of those shots that he went 4 of 12, he would have had what, 15 to 17 points. He would have had 6 boards. He would have had 6 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Like, it would have been a phenomenal game.
If he would have.
Yeah, I'm saying.
But he hasn't.
But if two shots go in, then you look at it and you're like, oh, that's exactly what you want from him. So I'm not panicking about anything until we get 20, 25 games. Let him, much like Ryan, Chris, like, him and two are the same age. Him and Chris are the same age. Just because he's been in the league longer doesn't mean he's not immune to the same changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from a multicultural city in Washington, D.C., where you've got a lot of Israeli representation and you've got a community that you're a part of and a new organization, you're flying all the way across the country and not only integrating on the basketball side, but integrating on the cultural side. And I think those things, they get glossed over far too often.
Yep. All right, now just make some shots in the third quarter, huh?
Well, they probably have a really good chance tonight.
Actually, I don't care.
No. Look, we don't want the third quarters to go sideways. I mean,
I would much rather the third quarter go sideways and then you fight in the fourth quarter and make it interesting for us.
As opposed to tanking in the fourth and just being awful walking out the door.
Yeah.
Look, outside of the Thunder game going, whoa.
Well, like, Oklahoma City, I don't know if people know this.
They're really good.
They are. They are. They got that going for them.
And then the Warriors game, the second half of the Warriors game, they've been in it.
Yeah.
You know, the Suns go 9 of 18 in the third quarter. They have 44 points.
They're better than the Bucks.
Oof.
If people aren't following the Bucks, they're 1-5 with Damian Lamont, Ollie Lillard Sr.
Yeah. And Chris Middleton is not fixing that. And there's real noise about Giannis. As insane as that is.
Must come to Portland.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Just imagine if all of a sudden that OKC team has Giannis on it.
Don't. Well, at least, okay.
It'll be
OKC, I could do. The Houston. Lakers.
Oh, no. No, it'd be OKC or Houston.
Hmm.
Be one of those two.
That's not good.
Yeah. Both those teams have so many assets.
Giannis in Houston would be interesting.
You know who would love him is Ime.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I would think that pretty much any head coach in the league would love Giannis.
Yeah, but there's...
But, you know.
No, I'm talking about him, like, just the one, the player with that roster, how he would fit. I think it'd be really good.
It'd be hand in glove.
It'd be explosive. Yeah. And then Giannis in the city of Houston... Maybe electric social media.
Yes.
So I'm here for it.
It's not just the smoothies he'd like down there.
Yeah, that's right. So. All right.
right,
is that a euphemism?
All right, that's some basketball talk for now. We'll come up with our, coming up next. We've got our worst day on the web, and you know, bleep around and find out. Seems to be going around in Philadelphia, not only today, but all weekend long. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
Well, it was a bleep around and find out weekend in the world of Philadelphia sports.
Wonderly.
Starting off in the morning.
It's a bleep around and find out day, too. Their district attorney.
Literally said F around and find out.
Yeah, said if you want to bully people at the polling stations on election day, he literally said F around and find out.
And no,
did he finish it with a crotch chop?
he was not like one of those young hip DAs. Like he's like 38 years old. The man is like 74, saying "F around and find out." And he said it with a nice little turned up lip. Like he feeling a little froggy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he definitely had the please somebody try, somebody try. Like
he had like glasses on the bridge of his nose. Uh-huh. And he kind of looked over him. It was great. It was great.
Like, we've got some new protocols that we want to try out, so please, like, give it a little run and see what happens.
Yeah, there's a little tension over the last few days in the state of Pennsylvania. It's boiling over in a lot of different areas.
We want to put somebody in a duffel bag and drag them out of a room.
Yeah, that's right.
Which it looked like Jason Kelce was going to do to a guy who was trailing him walking. Was it walking into or out of a game?
I think it was in.
In, I think so too. But there was a Jason Kelce had a security with him, but there was a group of hangers on with cell phones trying to instigate, rage baiting, as it were.
Shall we call them ne'er do wells?
Yes, exactly. And somebody decided to say, "What do you think about your brother Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift and being a slur that is commonly associated in the LGBTQ world.
It's the F word.
Yeah, the old bundle of six.
Yes. Yeah. And
we're a cigarette.
Look,
Great Britain.
There are certain words that they'll make your ear perk up real quick. And Jason Kelce, his ears perked up real quick, and he turned around. And the guy was filming it, and he grabbed the phone and spiked it like he just scored a touchdown. And I have zero issue with what he did.
Yeah, in that, I don't have any issue with it either because of the way that they were approaching it, the way they were relentless, and the guy was...
It was antagonistic.
He was clout chasing, first of all. He wanted to be the guy that got a reaction out of Jason Kelce. He got the reaction out of Jason Kelce. I saw a lot of people admonishing Kelce for saying the word back to him because he repeated a few times, who's the...
Blank now.
Now. Who's the... Now. And there are people saying, how dare he say that? Well, he was enraged, said it. I bet you we're going to see a New Heights podcast where Kelce comes out and is like, look, I know I shouldn't have said it, but there's a reason why I got so upset about that word being thrown around.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him for what he did. I bet he regrets calling the guy the same slur back. But I think that guy had exactly what's coming. And if that guy's friends let him off the hook for it, he should not, because he is a tool of the utmost regard.
I think in terms of Jason Kelce using that phrase back to him, it was more of a how do you like them apples kind of moment.
Oh, that's exactly,
you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I don't think we can get too down on him there. And also, in my opinion, how strange is it that the guy called his brother that because he's dating a female?
Yeah, well,
we don't say these are the smartest people.
Just seems an odd choice of words for that circumstance.
That guy is an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up.
He's an idiot, and that also answers your question.
Yeah,
he's an idiot.
He's an idiot. Yeah,
he's an idiot. So, all right. Well, that was F around and find out. Number one,
part
of the
one,
weekend.
Part two came about because Joel Embiid got into an altercation with Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes, and I want to make sure I read this. So, for anybody who has not actually read the article that started this came from a couple days ago. This is from Marcus Hayes in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son Arthur as a major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great, to leave a legacy of the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a 76er. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up. Embiid has been great at just the opposite. So you have a writer who has been covering the 76ers for a while now, who used and invoked the name of Joel Embiid's younger brother who died, who, for those that don't know, when this happened, it was Joel Embiid's rookie year, and Joel is rehabbing on the West Coast, and this happened when his brother was visiting on the East Coast. Joel is from Cameroon. He did not see his brother for 3 years, and then he died. So, and he was incredibly close with him, and it was so devastating that he contemplated giving up his basketball dreams and going home to Cameroon. This was a... And again, Joel Embiid's rookie year, he didn't play because he was recovering from a very invasive surgery.
And this guy knows that. And it wasn't just he invoked his dead brother, but his kid, too.
Who was named for his deceased brother.
You want to do two things that'll piss me off? You talk about...
My family.
My kids or my... anybody in my family, but my brother who died. You do the double whammy in one sentence? No.
Look, I have talked...
This is another example of this guy's lucky he didn't get curb stomped.
No, and you're not wrong. And look, I've seen a bunch of people like, violence is never the answer. Yes, it is. Full stop. Yes, it is. Well, it was like, you shouldn't condone violence. Here I am. I'll take the rap for it. I'm condoning violence. Because not enough people have been punched, slapped, or knocked around in their life. People used to feel shame. The fact that, number one, it's not just on Marcus Hayes. His bleeping editor. How the hell do you let this get printed? What world does that, evoking that thought, seem remotely fair?
Yeah, I don't get that either. I'm not going to say I think he should have beat him up, punched him, whatever. But what he did do, I don't take issue with. And the NBA is investigating.
They're
going to
suspend him for a game.
He shoved him.
Yeah.
By all accounts and reports.
Yeah.
And I think that that is, I don't think that that is crossing the line. I think he was hot. He was heated. Again, just like Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. Probably regrets it a little bit.
Again, what's the common line we're pulling on here?
But is gonna say that in the heat of that moment, with seeing that guy and probably the smug look on his face after he knows it, I can just write whatever I want and it's not going to affect me at all. It probably pissed him beat off to a point where he pushed him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think that he overreacted in that moment.
No,
I do not. Well, and I wonder what the feeling and the sentiment is around Philadelphia too about that.
Most of the city that I've seen has been like, yeah, well, and look, I've talked to probably 30, 40 NBA reporters, national and local guys across the NBA over the last couple of days. Our group chats are all a buzzing because one of our own got assaulted, and it's like, oh God, please
stop.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guess what? You have the freedom of the press to write whatever you want, but that does not mean it does not come without consequence.
Yep, 100%. And here's the thing. You're hearing some NBA reporters today saying that you can never, ever condone violence, and I'm hearing those same exact reporters behind the scenes saying Marcus Hayes is lucky he has the taste in his mouth. So, staggering majority of people that I know that cover the league on both a local and national level are very much like, look, I can't say this, but...
Well, and this might sound cynical, too, but maybe that dude kind of got what he wanted, too, in that there's a lot more people today around this country that know know his name than before this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's the way you want your name to be remembered and that's how you want your name to be known...
There's a lot of people who say that, you know, any press is good press.
You are choosing a path that is not one that you're going to want to be remembered for.
Well, I mean, remember, Skip Bayless did it for years with Troy Aikman.
Yeah, and people love Skip Bayless.
Made a lot of money being hated by everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how his legacy will be remembered.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that good?
No.
No?
Okay. No. I hate that. And I hate that. Look, you can't sit there and I do agree with the, you can't be threatening people and coming out, but a reaction to a sensitive conversation or in sensitive topic with a person, if you want to go out and you want to go and feel that you can write whatever you want about it, there will be consequences for your actions. I mean, there will be. I mean, you can't be sitting there, and Joel Embiid is not somebody who, you know, went up on the pulpit and tried to incite violence from somebody else to do it towards a reporter on his behalf. And this is what Embiid is going to have to do, is Embiid is going to have to go up and say, I did something that I do regret, right? Whether he does or not.
He's going to get up and have to do the whole apology tour.
Because I think that there is also, from like the reporter standpoint of this guy, because of Embiid's reaction, he's going to go out and he's going to find some Philly fans that feel the same way that Joel Embiid does. And I bet you he's getting threatened. I bet you he is getting threatened on social media. He's getting letters. I bet somebody's going to, knowing Philly, knowing fandom, not just Philly, don't want to put this strictly on Philly, somebody's probably going to dox the dude. And this is how it escalates and gets to a point that is truly dangerous. And it was because of the words and what he decided to invoke in his article trying to get Joel Embiid to play, which was stupid in his move, in his role in this. But now you have a situation where Embiid does got to have to come out and say, hey, I need to be the person who de-escalates this thing now. Because that's where this thing can get out of control. And I think that is wrong. But for Joel Embiid to react the way that he did, I'm not going to crush the guy for it.
No,
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not even going to admonish him for it. Because, again, like, look, I know everyone's like, oh, you're such a tough guy, Danny. Like, this is genuinely what I believe. Like, you can take it or leave it. It's just people need to be less comfortable saying out of pocket things like that.
Yeah. Jonathan on the YouTube chat, freedom of speech also doesn't protect him from being fired, which is, of course, what should happen.
He won't get fired over this. He probably should.
Like, he probably should.
Look, here's the thing. Hyken tweeted this out,
but he won't.
Night that it happened. You don't write anything that you wouldn't say to somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stood by that. Like, I've had my dust-ups. Like, you know, Nurk went at me both publicly and privately when he was here. And we talked it out, and we still talk. Like, it happens. From time to time, that stuff happens. And it was I never once attacked him personally. Never once attacked him, like, about anything off. In fact, off the court, Nurk's probably one of the best, like, humans I've ever seen. The amount of work he does with charity during COVID, the guy was spending money to send staple foods back to Bosnia because the supply chain was so jacked up they couldn't get food into the country, kind of a deal. Like, he's a great person in that respect. Never. Like, if you want to go after somebody, you want to go to Joel Embiid's availability, that's fine. What world exists where you need to bring in family?
Nope, you don't.
The only, and I had people ask about this. Well, what about when family is like brought into it, like LeBron and Bronny? Bronny voluntarily entered that arena by coming into the NBA. The only other times when it's quote unquote okay is if you're talking about like legal matters, you know, domestic abuse,
yep,
something of that nature. Like that's when family gets brought up. Otherwise, or if you're talking about them glowingly, Joel living up to his brother's memory and name. That's a great story. Otherwise, you leave that alone. And if you cross that line, I just put my hands up and go, if you get the crap smacked out of you, so be it.
Yeah.
Like, I know most people probably aren't going to agree with that, but I don't think you should be allowed. Everybody says, well, it's illegal. And I'm like, yeah, well, oh well.
Oh well.
That's where I'm at with that. All right, we got a bunch of college football news and notes to get to, including is Lincoln Riley finally on the hot seat after another stinker up against the Huskies in Washington? Danny and Dusty, Tanny the Fan. Rutt row, George. Yes, Rutt row, Lincoln. USC goes up to Seattle and falls down again. USC is now 4-5 on the season. Yikes, dog.
Yeah,
they can't lose another game. They can't lose another game.
Well, sure they can. They can lose a bunch of games.
But they've now reached the point of Not necessarily a point of no return, because they're not going anywhere. But they fall 26-21 after an anemic offense, after Miller Moss is forced to throw the ball 50 times, gets careless with it. Three interceptions are the doom, and USC doesn't have an identity right now. And the big thing about this is Miller Moss is a solid quarterback. He is not Baker Mayfield. He is not Caleb Williams. He is not Kyler Murray. He is not the freaks that Lincoln Riley has had in the past. But he's a cerebral quarterback who can make all the throws. But he's being asked to do too much because their offensive line is too bad and they can't consistently run the ball despite actually having a nice set of running backs.
Well, they ran the ball effectively against Washington, which is the thing. I don't understand. You run the ball at 5.7 yards mm-hmm. per carry, but it is getting behind the sticks. And that, to me, it's not just the turnovers. Three interceptions, not good. No. And look, I've been saying this all along. Washington at the beginning of the year is not going to be the same Washington team that we see at the end of the year. Their coaching staff is too good. We have seen this story before that Jed Fish, his staff, his teams, they get better as the season goes on. They are going to be a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing a lot better football right now. Especially on the defense side of the ball where they run a pro style of defense. Are the guys as good as they were last year? Absolutely not.
No.
They are not. Do they have their faults? Yes, they do. But they play within themselves, and this was the thing about USC. They converted a lot of third downs, but early downs, they were in second and long a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that pushes – when you run the ball for 6 yards a carry, all right, cool. Well, now you're in third and four, third and five, right? That's where they kind of lived, and you're going to have to throw the football again. Because you are in third and medium. That, to me, is also Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
And that is a huge problem. And he is sitting there and, like, he's making the excuses of, you know, hey, you know, we're only a few plays away from being undefeated. But you're not. You're 4-5 right yep. now. You're 4-5. Your defense was doing the job. You have the war of attrition. You're not deep up front.
They can't get to the quarterback to save their life.
And this is the worst case scenario if you are going to hold your head on, well, we're going to rebuild through the portal. We're going to go and we're going to recruit and we're going to backfill our roster. Because what you're doing now is your coaching staff is losing you games.
Mm-hmm.
And guys in the portal, recruits, they're going to be like, okay, is that what I want to be attached to? Or are you going to go to some of the teams? And look, this is the same thing that James Franklin and Penn State are in right now, right? You can beat up on a lot of teams, but you can't win the big ones. No. At least what James Franklin is doing is they beat every team that is not a top 10 ranked team. They beat them all. And they can hold their hat on that. We need to get over the Ohio State. We need to get over the Michigan hump. And they have not been able to do that. But with Lincoln Riley, it's like you're losing to teams you shouldn't lose to.
No,
you are more talented then.
No, and the thing about this is right now, USC is a number 9 recruiting class in 2025. They finally have a top 10 recruiting class. They finally look like they might be doing something. But there's already been three defections, one of them to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The best pass rusher in the class has already gone from Georgia to USC to Georgia to USC and now to Oregon. And they can't afford that because they are not – they're Oregon, even when the Cristobal years with, you know, like sitting there looking at things like, eh, this is janky, this is weird, they still recruited.
Mm-hmm.
And USC is starting to recruit. And I think a big part of that is bringing in the new defensive coordinators, co-coordinators, who have done yeoman's work in the recruiting that they just weren't doing the first 2 years. But all that goodwill goes away if you crap away games.
And I think it's never a good sign when you got guys like Bear Alexander who come in through the portal, and Alexander has all of his issues.
He's got plenty of baggage.
But then he's going to
redshirt and go.
That's the thing that guys in the portal want to see, though, is when you get into the portal, you're going to get that second opportunity. The one that you felt you weren't getting at your previous stop. You want to be able to launch yourself into the National Football League, right? That's what all these guys want. When you get acquisitions through the portal, you better start producing with them, because then guys are going to be like, well, I have X, Y, and Z that weren't successful in your program. Why will I be different with you? And that is way different than recruiting the high school kids, because high school kids, they don't really keep tabs on a lot of what's going on. But if you hear the guys who enter the portal, they're saying, yeah, I was looking at how they were doing, and I was looking at them from afar because you're in the thick of it and you go, that's somewhere I want to be, right? That's somewhere where I can thrive. I know they're going to develop. That it could be a bigger hill to climb now for USC, especially when Lincoln Riley says things like, I don't have the answers. I don't know what's going on, right? I don't know what's going, not going on, what's going wrong for us, and saying, hey, we're a few plays away from being undefeated.
Well, here's something to consider too. We're talking about that transfer portal. Lincoln Riley's first year, number one transfer portal class in the country by far. Caleb Williams, obviously leading that path. 2023, they are the second best transfer portal school in the country. 2024, 19th. And you start to see it fall back. Now, the flip side is, it's not just a one-to-one correlation. USC's high school recruiting has gone from very poor to right now, ninth in the country in the 2025 class and fifth for 2026. So they're trending in the direction up there. But again, the idea that is USC, if you just have somebody remotely competent, you're going to be a top 15 recruiter. You just need to not have Clay Helton not recruiting. Now, to get from 15 to 10 to 5 to being back where they were 20 years ago, that's different.
Should probably recruit Southern California, too.
Yeah, that whole we're not going to protect the backyard thing, that statement from Lincoln last year was one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
And the fact that modern day's coach is saying, yeah, we haven't seen him this season.
And St. John Bosco used to be a pipeline to USC is no longer said. In fact, I believe Oregon has two Bosco kids on their in their recruiting class. So things are not going great. And again, for everybody's like, ah, I love seeing USC lose. We're great for you, Danny, blah, blah. I picked this team to go 8-4 this year. They were never going to be great. But if they finish, if they've, I mean, in reality, they're probably going to lose to Notre Dame.
Probably. I would say that's pretty safe.
Six
right now.
Losses?
Yeah.
For and USC?
You go to Nebraska, which is in the hitting the skids right now. You got UCLA, which, how about the Bruins going and getting a win?
Hey.
Bruins are currently
find one
better in the Big Ten than USC is.
It's disgusting.
Well, that's Deshaun Foster, who's, you know, as we know, UCLA is it's
in L.A.
In L.A. Oh. Yeah.
If I don't know anything about us, we're in L.A.
Woo. Man.
So, yeah, if you're wondering, is the hot seat heating up? Kind of. Despite everything we just said, USC's not going to make a move there. Not this year.
Too much money.
So,
unless he takes the job at
for the Raiders.
For the Raiders. Which? OC job, huh? All right.
Cignetti to USC?
Oh, Kurt Cignetti, Google me. Yeah. Actually, that would piss off USC fans because he's not a top tier recruiter. He's a
developer.
This guy fits what I want to do. So it would be like you're recruiting in like the 20s, but they would come in and play really hard. Like, I don't think Kurt Cignetti fits everywhere. The places that he has gone, he's fit to
Madison,
a T. I mean, how many times have we seen the story before? A guy is very successful some places, but then the fan base is like, why are we recruiting number one to the class of our country?
The Luke Fickles of the world?
Yep.
Yeah. No. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of the season. Coming up next, though, we'll pivot back to the NFL because, my God, they're NFL and college. We're going to hit them both. An hour number three here on Danny Dusty, Tenney the Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.